Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up, I'll be looking at the latest EPA water quality results, and it's important to point out just how much farmers have played their part in ensuring that the quality of water in this country has improved so much on popular beaches and lakes. I'll be speaking to IFA Environment Chairman Thomas Cooney. Before that, though, I'm joined on the line by IFA Animal Health Chairman Bert Stewart, and we're going to be talking about the problems in the fallen animal collection service, and also about farm security and some interesting new developments utilising the very latest technology. Good evening, Bert. You've been very critical of the lack of action by the department in providing a cost-effective and competitive fallen animal collection service. This is a problem that's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, good evening, Chris. Indeed it has. I suppose we the minister were in a 125 kilometre limit where the nectaries could go to rendering plants, and that has affected the cost in many cases. The minister did give a commitment that he would review this policy if the cost did increase. And look, we did a survey, you know, on the cost, and it has risen significantly in places. Yet the minister and his officials has refused to review the policy. Look, in recent times, there's nackeries charging up to 50 euro for fallen sheep, and in some areas of the country, indeed, they're refusing to collect sheep. You know, leaving the farmers with no disposal route for them. Except they will accept them if they're delivered to the nackeries. But that's a huge distance for farmers to travel in some cases.
And from a Donegal perspective, because of the geographical position of things up here, even less competition.
Absolutely. I know all the sheep that are collected in Donegal have to actually come to Cavan to the nackery to set off the rendered, which is not acceptable. And the cost there is spiraled out of control, really. You know, the department, you know, they are responsible for an adequate fallen animal collection service, you know, around the country. Send that licenses the nackeries, so they're actually in control of the nackeries. Yet cost seems to rise, and the department don't seem to want to put more competition into the whole scheme.
So what actually can be done in the short term?
Well, looking in the short term, where the are refusing to collect them, we met with senior department officials about this, and we said they'd have to look at burial licences if there wasn't a competitive collection service in an area. So it's something that, you know, none of us really want to go down, but if that's the only option that's there, the department will have to issue licences to the local authorities.
Now, there has been some talk of maybe looking at the examples of other countries and looking at the way they do things, and perhaps we could learn lessons.
Yeah, IFA did a study tour to Holland last year, and well, there's just one provider for the whole entire country. Okay, Holland's a smaller country than Ireland, probably about the size of Munster, but nevertheless, just one service provider in the whole country. And the fees that are charged there, they're only a fraction of what are charged in this country. It's a very efficient service that are there. There's not lorries and trucks passing by each other on the road. It's very efficient, and prices are regulated by the department in Holland.
So no matter who the new Minister for Agriculture is, this is certainly going to be something that's going to be pushed strongly.
It's something that's going to be pushed, because for farm incomes are at the minute, it's difficult for farmers to pay for to get rid of fallen stock. And look, at this, it's a busy time of the year. This with, you know, with cows calving and sheep lambing, and look, the reality is there's always casualties on farms, and it's a serious cost to farmers in some cases.
And I know there's been some concern about letters that have been sent out from the Department of Agriculture Somewhat threatening in the tone on occasions.
That's right, yeah. Look, we brought this up with the department where they had issued letters to flock holders, anybody over 100 ewes, and saying that, you know, that they would have to send their fallen sheep to knackeries to make sure that they had a TSE test. That's scrapy. But it's putting farmers under more pressure to send their sheep to knackeries, even when in some cases the service, the collection service, doesn't exist.
One other thing, Bert, just before we leave you, there are new developments in terms of new technology in ways of fighting rural crime and protecting the farmyard. We could be going into an age of lasers on the farmyard.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. Look at theft of cattle and, you know, livestock, sheep, farm machinery. It's a huge loss for any farmer, and never mind the loss, it's the trauma and the stress on the whole family. After the like of this, a farmer not being fit to sleep in his bed at night, wondering, is there somebody, you know, in his farmyard or trying to steal something or sussing something out for somebody else? Look, we have been in touch with a company. It's called Satcom, and they have, you know, some fairly high technology equipment coming on the market at the minute. It's just recently in. Gate tags is one of them. It's a device that goes on the gate, and I suppose one of the things you have to have reasonable broadband for it to work. If the gate is open, it sends a signal to a monitor, and that in turn sends an alarm to your mobile phone that the gate has been opened. You know exactly which gate has been opened. So there's a farm security demonstration on a farm here at the end of the week, and the chairman Donegal, Michael Chance, I believe, will be coming up to it as well, so he'll have the opportunity. There are devices as well. There's an access tags. It's a device you leave just in a vehicle. That'd be a Jeep, that'd be a tractor, that'd be a quad, whatever. You can move it from one vehicle to another. If the vehicle is moved, it detects movement. It'll send an alarm text to your mobile phone that the vehicle has been moved. A couple of other devices that are there as well. It's a beam across a laneway, you know, going up to a farmyard or going up to a house or whatever. Look at it. It can be set, you know, to come on at different times of the night. That would be from 12 o'clock in the night to 6 in the morning, or there's different settings on it. You can set the days you want it on, the hours you want it on during those days or nights. And it'll send an alarm to your mobile phone if the beam is broken, if anything goes through the beam, to break it. It can also activate a camera to record and send a message to your mobile phone as well, so you'll actually see what's going on. There's other GPS tags as well. Currently, they're just in collars around animals' necks. So if there's something, I suppose, that's been used in other places in the world, maybe in Africa and in Australia. But the collar goes around the animal's neck. If the collar is removed, it obviously sends an alarm. If the animal is stolen, you can track the animal wherever it's taken to. Look, it's probably not as acceptable or saying on collars around necks, because obviously people will know that they're there, but it's something that's been developed at the minute, is a bolus for the stomach. So the bolus would be in the animal's stomach, and if the animal was stolen, you could track it on GPS where it went to. So I think that whenever that comes, and I do believe it will come, will be a breakthrough in animal theft, because, you know, it'll be in the animal. And the thieves that come to steal animals, they won't know what animals have the tracking device in them or what hasn't. So I think it will be moved forward in cattle theft, there's no doubt on that.
IFA Animal Health Chairman Bert Stewart. The IFA Environment Chairman, Thomas Cooney, has described the latest EPA water quality results as an example of what investment and hard work can achieve. The results show that 93% of our bathing waters around the country are classified as being in either excellent or good condition. Farmers have played their part.
Yes, farmyards were upgraded, and in the past 10 years, there has been $2 billion of farmers' money. There has been, that has also been topped up by another $2.5 billion of grant aid, you know, that did help farmers to put that money and put them structures in place, silage pits, effluent tanks, slurry storage facilities, all that. That coupled with the agri-environment schemes, you know, you had the Rural Environmental Protection Scheme, which was known as REPS, and it was followed then by the AAOS, Agricultural Environmental Option Scheme, and now you have the GLOSS, Green Low Carbon Agri Scheme. All of those schemes have measures that protect water courses. You fence off, there's options to fence off water courses. You don't spread slurry or effluent within a certain distance off a water course or a river or a lake. It's important that these schemes will be funded going forward, that the future governments will continue to fund these schemes going forward, because they are paying off, and there is a benefit for the broader community.
Now, we all agree water quality is so important, but maybe sometimes we do need that little helping hand, and if there isn't some incentive there or some form of grant money or whatever, you can't expect the farmer to do everything on his own.
Oh no, absolutely, because commodity prices, farmers invested all this money, but they're not getting any more for their product now than they were at that time. So there does have to be an incentive there for them to do it, and those incentives, it is vital that those schemes to be funded going forward. There is also a spin-off in the community as well. For every euro that's spent on the farm, there's a spin-off of 4 euros in the broader community with employment and services and maintenance and all that sort of stuff. So.
And just to put it in context, I mean, if we go back 10 years or 20 years or even 30 years, we have seen a massive change to what actually happens on the farm and in the farmyard in terms of control measures to ensure that water is kept in the most pristine condition.
Yes, soiled water is all stored separately. Anything that comes in contact with any areas where the animals are, that water is stored in a separate tank. Clean water from gutters and all that is separated, and the soiled water and slurry and effluent is spread during the growing seasons. There's no, you can't go out now from the 15th of October in this part of the country, in Cavan, Monaghan, Leitrim and Donegal, till the 1st of February, from the 15th of October till the 1st of February. So that's another change that we hadn't got 20 or 30 years ago as well, which all these tanks had to be put up to facilitate this. So, and might I add, farmers are still paying for that $2 billion investment. You know, like there's still bank loans being paid off for that since 2008. They're still paying off. But look, these schemes here, they are a great help, and it would be vital that they're funded going forward.
A lot of these schemes have been driven by Europe. We've come a certain distance. What's ahead in the years to come? Are we going to have many more schemes to make things even better? Or, I mean, how much more can we do, having made such progress?
Well, sure, it's vital that any farmers who are developing their farms, young farmers that's starting off, or anyone that's expanding, that they are given the grant aid to upgrade their facilities. And The other thing is the current Green Low Carbon Scheme, which is the GLOSS, which has replaced the old REPS or AAOS, that scheme is underfunded at the moment. So, because there's 2,500 farmers didn't get into the second tranche of it there. There's probably going to be 50. I'd love to see that every farmer could join that scheme, that there would be enough of funds there available. So that's what we can go back and lobby in Brussels to get more funding. I'd be working with my counterparts on the Rural Development Committee of IFA and try and get schemes up and options open for everyone.
And that was IFA Environment Chairman Thomas Cooney. Time for the livestock prices. We'll start with the sheep prices. Hoggets up to €5.85 to 24 kilos. Spring lambs, €6.50 a kilo to 20 kilos. And ewes making €3 to €3.30 a kilo. Cattle prices, steers €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Heifers, €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. O-grade bulls making €3.70 a kilo. U-grade making €3.90 a kilo. O-grade cows €3.25 a kilo. And R-grade cows making €3.45 a kilo. Interesting little piece on the AgriLand website this week. There was a farmer in the UK arrested recently for driving at a snail's pace on a motorway in the UK, where it's illegal to drive on the motorway with a tractor. Well, it's a problem we don't have here in Donegal. We don't have any motorways, but hopefully we will at some stage in the future have better roads. And worth noting that it's not illegal here in the Republic of Ireland to drive a tractor on a motorway. According to the Road Safety Authority, you can do so if your vehicle can travel at least 50 kilometres an hour. Well, that's just about it for tonight's programme. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, thanks for listening. Goodbye.